at the crossing, guiding me to Soon I shall rise up, bring up the river, where the chill waters murmur their song. Nothing can harm me, nothing alarm me, while I am sailing across to my home.
Father, rose, 3:26.
Love.
Welcome everybody that's come to worship with us today here at Reidsville Primitive Baptist Church. We appreciate your presence and the effort you've made to come out and to worship with us. It's kind of a overcast day, but it's been some beautiful rainy days the last two or three days. We've had, I believe my rain gauge said 3 inches in the last 3 days, but it's been a nice gentle rain, soaks in the ground good, and we really, really were dry. We needed the rain. And it's a wonderful thing. The Lord says He makes it to rain on the good and the evil. He makes it to rain on one city and not on another. God is sovereign. He distributes His rain and His pleasures and His goodness and His judgments as He sees fit. But God is good, and He says, I am God, I'm merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and full of compassion, and I'm a God that doth delight in these things. And aren't we very fortunate that He is a God that doth delight in being compassionate and gracious, and merciful, and long-suffering. I hate to think where I would be if He dealt with us according to our just deserts. I don't want justice, I want mercy and grace. And thankful He's the God of all grace. Sister Mabel Haynes is not here today. She said that, I understand they have a home, a reunion, family reunion, but she's still having a lot of pain. She's not, the doctors have not been able to alleviate the pain that she has in her back, and I think it goes down in her legs too, I believe. And we are sorry that she's taken therapy, and so far it hadn't done much good. It hasn't healed her anyway. And we hope that it will work for her, because I know it's miserable to live in pain. We're glad that Sister Janie, she's been sick, but she's back and said she's not 100%, but she's a lot better. And we're glad of that. Sister Nancy has been out and been sick, and she said that she's doing better, and we're glad to have her back. Is there any other sickness that I need to make mention of? If not, Brother Keith, do you have a song? Or
175.
Well, that's a good one. After our song, we'll endeavor to go to a throne of grace and prayer. And we covet an interest in your prayers as we endeavor to pray. Hope you'll be blessed to pray for me, for one another, for the sick, for our rulers and leaders. We've been commanded to pray for them that God has ordained to rule over us. Pray for our sons and daughters on foreign soil that's fighting for our liberty. Sometimes I think we're very much complacent about our liberties. I think we've seen, though it's not been firsthand with us, but it hurt certain has in certain parts of the country, there are those people that would certainly deprive you of your privilege of coming here today and worshiping God through the person of Jesus Christ. There are multitudes that hate that name. And they could, they'd cut your head off. We've seen that demonstrated. And it's amazing to me how people can be so full of hate and malice, and all in the name of a God. A God, not our God, but they say that they're all children of Abraham and we worship the same God, but I don't believe it. I don't believe my God would give instructions to cut your head off for no reason. I know he's a God of judgment and he punishes, but just to because a person doesn't agree with you in your religion, they think you have the right to cut your head off. That's from the God of this world. And the Bible says that Satan is the God of this world, the prince of the power of the air. That's where that comes from, as far as I'm concerned. Sing, brethren, when you're ready.
There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Hold us who wait before thee, near to the heart of God. There is a place of comfort sweet, near to the heart of God, a place where we our Savior meet, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Hold us who wait before thee, near to the heart of God.
There is a place of glory near to the heart of God, a place where all is joy and peace, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before thee, near to the heart of God.
Our most kind and merciful Heavenly Father, it's again that we come to Thee, trusting in the merits and in the righteousness of Thy dear Son and our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who loved us and gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all of our grievous sins and iniquities against Thee. How thankful we are, dear Lord, that Thou art full of compassion and merciful and gracious and long-suffering, and that Thou didst love us even when we were so unlovely, even at enmity towards Thee in our minds, and rebellious against Thy commandments, and violating thy precepts. And yet, O Lord, thou left the courts of glory and came into this low ground of sin and sorrow, took on thyself a sinless, innocent body, and lived without violating the law of God for 33.5 years, suffered in the hands of the cruel hands of men in our behalf. How we desire, our Father, to thank thee, to worship thee, and to praise thee, to thank thee for thy wonderful mercy and grace, for thy loving kindness, and all the benefits we have received, both natural and spiritual. Dear Lord, we thank thee again for this day, for the church here at Reidsville. We thank you, dear Lord, for the fellowship we have with thee through the Holy Spirit, and for the fellowship we have one with another by the same Spirit. We thank you, dear Lord, for the witness of the Spirit to our spirits that what we have is true and is of thee, and no man can take it from us. Father, we thank you again for thy church, which is the pillar and ground of the truth, the church of the living God. How thankful we are, our Father, that we know thee. And as thou hast said, if any man glory, let him glory in this, that he understandeth and he knoweth me. How thankful we are, our Father, that thou hast given us some understanding, that we do understand that we are sinful beings and lost forever without thy marvelous grace. And by thy precious gospel that thou hast bestowed grace upon us through thy Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the precious gospel. Now, Father, we pray for the leadership of thy unerring Spirit, that we might preach the everlasting gospel, that each heart and each mind that's bowed here before thee today, that we might be blessed to draw nigh unto thee and to render unto thee praise and worship. For thou, O Father, and our blessed Savior are alone worthy of our worship and praise. And thou, O Lord, art worthy, and we desire to praise and to worship thee in spirit and in truth. We thank thee for the truth that sets us free from the cunning craftiness of men that lie in wait to deceive and would trample thy truth under feet and keep us in bondage if they had that power, if they could. We thank thee, O Lord, for the freedoms that we have, for this wonderful country that thou hast blessed above all the nations of the earth. We thank you, dear Lord, for our leaders and pray that thou would give them a mind to call upon thee and to consult thee and to endeavor to follow after thy commandments that we might receive thy blessings. We thank you, dear Lord, for our sons and daughters that are willing to fight for our liberties, the enemies that would deprive us of our liberties. Lord, we pray that thou would protect them and keep them in thy loving care. Lord, we pray again for this day and for each one that's here and for their loved ones. And we pray for the sick and the afflicted, the aged and the infirm, and all that's asked an interest in our prayers and the prayers of this church. And these blessings we ask in the precious name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. This morning I was thinking about our glorified bodies. We were discussing that with our neighbor and friend and Brother Richard Tillman the last few days. I mean, he comes over most every morning. We have a cup of coffee together and talk about these things. And we've been talking about these bodies. there has been a lot of controversy in the church, and many, I understand that there has been some that has taught that there's no resurrection of the body, and that we will just be a spirit in the next world. But I believe that the Bible teaches that there is a, well, I know it does. I don't believe it does. We've got it right here. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And out of this body, the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, goes into great detail. Here, the Apostle Paul, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless you have believed in vain." And I would pause right there for a minute. We have here a saving in the truth. Paul says that if you keep in memory these things that I have preached unto you, by which you are saved. And to be saved in the scriptures means to be delivered from something. And what you are delivered from is ignorance and falsehood and deception and things that false prophets and false Christ and false teachers and false preachers would keep you in bondage to for some reason that they have in mind, no doubt. people will keep you in bondage, that they might fleece you of your money, of your property, or different things at different times. But there's a motive. Some people are just plain ignorant, but some people are deceiving, as the scriptures tells us. So, but the truth, when you know the truth, it will make you free. And so the Apostle Paul is saying here that he has preached unto them the resurrection. And he says, "I preached unto you, which also what you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me, also as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of all the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, I say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." Excuse me. "Yea, and we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead raise not. For if the dead raise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued under him, then shall the Son himself also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all and in all. I'm going to stop right there. He has gone through a long discourse here, assuring the church at Corinth that even though some there said they did not believe in the resurrection of the dead, that if there was no resurrection of the dead, then Christ didn't raise from the dead. And if he didn't raise from the dead, their faith was in vain. The Apostle Paul's preaching was in vain. And he was a deceiver because he had preached that Christ had raised from the dead. And they were yet in their sins. And so the conclusion is that if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. And sometimes I think we almost take it for granted that we live in hope of life after death. It's part of our consciousness and subconsciousness. And regardless of how feeble we get, how sick we get, how weak we get, what illnesses befall us and so forth, there's always in that hope back here, that belief that it's going to be better in the next world. It'll be better by and by. And it's that wonderful hope of the resurrection that sees us through so many sorrows, and it enables us to get the victory. In other words, it's the sum and substance of our faith. And faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We've not seen our glorified body, and we won't see it until that resurrection day. And yet, we live in hope of it, and we gain the victory. John says, what is it that gets the victory? Even our faith. And so we are able to gain the victory over sorrows and sicknesses, and then when we lose our loved ones and these things, we even when those that are very closest to us die and we bury them, we do it in hope that they're going to, we'll see them in the resurrection morning. So he goes on and says that if it wasn't for that, we would of all men be most miserable. But then he says, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? And that's what we often wonder about. And there's been a lot of disagreements about it. And some say when this body is dead, that it goes back to the dust. And that's just the end of it. That we're just the spirit and the soul that is immortal and that will be preserved. But we should not, the Apostle Paul here is going to give us a good argument as to why we should be encouraged that it's no difficult thing for God to call from the dust of the earth these bodies, and that out of these bodies there will be a glorified body. And he says, so some will say, with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. And so the Apostle Paul is using nature here to teach us that when we sow a grain of corn or a grain of wheat or an acorn or any kind of a seed, what comes up out of the ground is altogether different from it. And I've often marveled that you can hold an acorn in your hand, and who could ever dream that a tree, a great tree, would be out of come out of that little acorn? And I've got some trees in my yard that I planted that were no bigger than my finger, and now I can't reach around them. Two men can't reach around them. And you just couldn't look at an acorn if you didn't know what happened.